where you went decade, and pointed out how many different national champions there were per decade. And right now we're sitting at 5, which is a very low number.
Yeah, I mean, the lowest number we've seen since, going back to the 40s, where it was pretty much dominated by Army and Notre Dame and to a certain extent Michigan. But, looking at it, Bill, I don't think we add another one to that list this year. I mean, there's only been 5 different programs to win a title in this decade. That's the fewest. And right now you can bet it in Vegas, Alabama and Clemson. Those 2 teams are favored against the field. So in recent decades, there's been as many as 8 teams per decade, now at 5. And, I don't think it's great for the sport. Obviously college football's always been a little chalk heavy, but I think there's a big difference between, 10 teams feeling that they can win the national championship compared to about 5 right now. And to me, I don't think it's great for the sport. Now, what's the solution? I'm not sure. I mean, if there was a solution, it'd be another program breaking through. Particularly, I would say, for the health of college football in a different region in the country, instead of nothing against the South. But I think, certainly the West Coast, with the USC, the LA schools being down, isn't ideal. And I don't know what the solution is, because unless Saban retires, and I certainly don't think Dabo's going anywhere soon. I mean, the Alabama-Clemson dominance, in my opinion, is only going to continue.
Well, I can give you the solution, but it's not going to happen, and that is you would prohibit acquisition of talent. And that's not going to happen. This isn't the NFL. We don't rig it to where the worst team gets the best pick. You get to go out and recruit and take the dominant guys every year. And as you subtly noted just then, Clemson right now is having what might be a generational class for the class of 20, meaning the guys they're committing right now. And Alabama's in the top 1, top 2, but usually the number 1 team in every class in recruiting. Until that reverses, the chalk remains, correct?
No question. You get the best players. You already have the best coaches. I don't see it changing anytime soon. You're right. 1 and 2 right now for the upcoming recruiting rankings. Clemson's 1, Alabama's 2. So I don't see it changing anytime soon. And I'm not sure that's, great for college football. we saw the ratings this past year, Clemson and Alabama. That was the lowest rating, I think, of the 4 matchups, at least for the 3 championship matchups between the two. And if they continue to match up, obviously in the NBA, it kind of grew a little bit stale, the 4 meetings between the Cavs and the Warriors. The problem is that was 4 years. I could see, we're already 4 years into it with Alabama and Clemson. And realistically speaking, if you had to ask me, is it going to be the same or not the same the next 4 years, I'd say it's more likely to be the same, with the exception of maybe Georgia possibly sneaking in there.
There's another angle to this, too, which I'm against, but most everybody's for. And that would be, if we go back to 11, and it was the LSU-Bama repeat, and that was just the most awful thing ever. SEC teams already played. Now we have to endure them in the national championship game, and America went crazy. Everybody went crazy, said, I'm sick of the SEC. Now we're playing repeat games, and shortly thereafter we had the announcement about the playoff, which would start, in 14? Maybe a Clemson-Bama rematch this year. That's going to have everybody screaming about how boring it is. Maybe that accelerates the expansion, because I don't think we're going to get to the end of the 12-year contract, which we're halfway into, without expansion. And maybe that's it. I don't know if that makes it less chalky because more teams get in, but that will be a byproduct of this, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know if it necessarily solves the solution.
Correct.
In my opinion, what teams would be more apt to, on being able to beat 3 consecutive good teams in a row, it'd be Alabama and Clemson. Get it. You want to give more teams a chance. But the reality is, if you want a different national champ, it's much more likely that a Notre Dame, a Michigan, an Ohio State, a Washington, much more likely to be able to do something in a one-game scenario, 4 or 5 turnovers. I go back to the 0-2 game between Miami and Ohio State. Much more likely that can happen in one game, let alone 3 consecutive games. I have a game like that and turn around and have to do it again and then again. I don't think expanding the playoffs solves that issue. I mean, we just saw Alabama and Clemson double-digit favorites in semifinals. Now you're going to expand it out to add more teams. That's going to solve it. Them being a 17 or 20-point favorite over a 7 or 8 seed, that's going to help? No, I don't think that's the case at all.
Your point's well taken. Central Florida gets in if we have 8, right? And they can't survive that rigorous team-after-team assault. No way.
No, just, I mean, they can maybe pull one.
Right.
But are they going to be able to do it multiple times? No. I mean, the reality is, no, they're not. I mean, I get it. Everyone points to the one-offs, UCF beating Auburn. And the reality is that what people don't understand, I mean, you got to play the games on the field, but a lot of times, you know, that Power 5 school, I mean, it's a game that, you know, quote-unquote doesn't mean as much to them. I mean, when you get to the playoff, obviously there's going to be – it should be max motivation for both teams, but – even if a UCF pulls one off, I just think the chances of them doing it multiple times over are far less. Now, the people that are griping, I guess having a greater than – right now they have basically a 0% chance, and I guess anything greater than zero, they're going to see as significant progress. But the reality is it's not going to be that much more than zero if you're expanding the playoffs to 8 teams. I don't see a UCF or any of those schools – being able to do it. In fact, I don't see really even schools like Notre Dame right now or a Michigan or a Washington being able to do it, you know, 3 times over.
West Coast Sooners got a question for you here on Twitter, and it involves a team that has an absolutely brutal schedule. His question is, hey, Brad, what are your thoughts on South Carolina this year and their win total?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is Will Muschamp's best team on paper from a personnel aspect. 14 returning starters for them. I get it. Jake Bentley's felt like he's been there forever, and he's really never really significantly improved. But I'd rather have an experienced quarterback than an inexperienced one. I'll put it that way. He's right on the money when it comes to schedule. I have South Carolina's schedule rated as the toughest in the entire country, and even though I have South Carolina in my top 25 of my power ratings, that's not an AP poll ballot. That's just who I'd favor over who on a neutral field. Even though I have South Carolina in my top 25, I can only get them to maybe 6 wins. Now, you can shop around. I've seen 6s out there. I've seen 5.5s out there. I would certainly go over 5.5 South Carolina, but I think if Will Muschamp gets to 7-5, I think he should be up to out for almost SEC Coach of the Year. That's how difficult the schedule is.
Rob in the 210, it's along the same lines. What's your thoughts on that South Carolina-North Carolina game?
I kind of like South Carolina in that one. I know they're laying 7.5 points, but certainly a strong lean. And as we get closer to kickoff, I'll clarify it. But, yeah, I do like South Carolina in that one. The neutral site, Charlotte, the fans should be 50-50. You know, I'm not overwhelmed by the Mack Brown hire, although I thought he made a couple of good coordinator hires in Phil Longo, the offense coordinator from Ole Miss, and then Jay Bateman, the defensive coordinator at Army the last couple of years, who's really done a good job. And obviously Mack's doing his part on the, you know, having some success right now so far on the recruiting front. But, yeah, I just think South Carolina is the more experienced team coming in. I think there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, South Carolina, after what happened in the bowl game last year, getting shut out. Yeah, the only way to go for me would be laying the 7.5 with the Gamecocks.
Soul Street Coffee, soulstreetcoffee.com, his site. He sponsors the Alabama segment we do with Kevin Hagan. He asks, hey, Brad, season win total for Mississippi State, he says it's at 8.5. It's at 8.5, I should say. He asks, do we take the under?
Yeah, I mean, especially that 8.5 number, because there's certainly more 8s out there in the marketplace right now. 8.5, I'm going under. And look, Mississippi State's kind of a weird team to handicap this year. I mean, last year, Joe Moorhead, who's known offensively, really it was the defense that carried the day for Mississippi State, particularly the defensive line. Now you lose all 4 starters up front, including a couple guys that went in the first round of the NFL draft. How do they replace that? I mean, that's some generational talent for a school like Mississippi State at one position. I'd be interested to see who they go with that quarterback. My guess is, if I'm reading the tea leaves, it'll probably be Tommy Stevens, transfer from Penn State, who's more familiar with the system. He's the better passer. looking at the schedule, I think it's relatively easy early on. I'd be a little bit surprised Mississippi State doesn't start 4-0. Games against Kansas State and Kentucky at home. But then after that, schedule really gets difficult. At Auburn, at Tennessee, LSU, at Texas A&M. I mean, Mississippi State's going to be an underdog in at least three of those. They also host Alabama. I would certainly lean under 8.5 wins. I think this is more like a 7-5, 8-4 type of year for the Bulldogs.
One more, and then we'll send it to the break. We have, Brad, a few listeners in Boston who are Colorado fans. Interesting.
Wow.
And I promised them that I would ask you, under new leadership, Mel Tucker, we all know the transition, Mike McIntyre is now at Ole Miss as the defensive coordinator. What are your reasonable expectations year one here with Mel Tucker?
Yeah, I'm a little down on Colorado. It has nothing to really do with the coaching hire. I'm a little indifferent. I mean, it's kind of an unknown. Mel Tucker is a guy that's obviously been around. He finally gets a chance to become a head coach. But, you know, is he familiar with the area? No. I mean, he doesn't have a track record in that area of the country. But with that being said, to me, more often than not, the reason I'm fading Colorado this year is the schedule. I think it's one of the most difficult in the country. And then you put the pen on paper, and this is a Colorado team that might be only favored in two games this year, and that being Colorado State and Air Force in the non-conference. Nebraska at home. Right now, Colorado's a 9-point underdog in that one. And then in Pac-12 play, I mean, it's really difficult because, I mean, you look at, you know, who Colorado pulls over from the Pac-12 North. It's Oregon. It's Stanford. It's Washington. It's Washington State. Well, those are the four best teams from that side of the division. So that's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, I like some of the personnel talent. Steven Montez is back for another year at quarterback. Laviska Shenault's one of the best wide receivers in the entire country. But right now, I mean, the season win total for Colorado is at 4.5. I don't see them getting the 5 wins. I'm going under 4.5 wins for the Buffs.
Maybe the audience has heard me talk about this. I think I've mentioned it. The AD at Colorado's Rick George, guy I've known for 25 years. He was Jerry DiNardo's first recruiting coordinator back in the Vandy days. And played at Illinois. This is getting on back there. I think he played for those Mike White teams of the early 80s. He was a DB at Illinois. Anyways, that's the AD there. And he had been with, I think, the PGA or the LPGA. I don't remember which one, but he'd been an executive in the golf business and now just got into the AD business the last couple of years. But good guy, and under his leadership, I've got some hope. Okay, Brad's out in Vegas. More questions for him when we come back. We'll take the break. We are at the Southern Steak and Oyster Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. I'm right there at 40 eastbound between Jefferson Street and I-65. Humphreys there at 4th. That's a minor wreck, and it's clearing stages there in Midtown. Still moving out here right now on 40 coming past the airport. It was a little slow earlier from that crash. They moved over to the site on 40 westbound there before you get to Spence Lane. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Try it this weekend. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Oh, Creative Parking Concepts in Nashville asks listeners to imagine what it's like to be a young person serving in our military overseas. A taste of home in the form of a military care package can comfort a soldier far from home. Just call your local veterans organization for information and see how you can get involved. This message is from Creative Parking Concepts in Nashville. For more information, call 615-712-7696. They're proud to support the men and women of the United States Armed Forces.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kurt Busch battled his brother door-to-door to the checkered flag. He ends up in victory lane at Kentucky. Up next is the Magic Mile at New Hampshire. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, this is Kurt Busch, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunny for this morning with a high of 96. Heat index values at 105. Clear overnight with your low at 75. A small chance of rain on Saturday. Mostly sunny with your high at 94. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
To know anything about college football, consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
So the second week of this Friday, right across the way from the Omni Nashville Hotel, 615-844-5600. Brad's with us out in Vegas, joins us every Friday. Here's a question on Twitter using the hashtag AskBP. Hawkeye Jason says, Brad, the early spread in the Iowa-Michigan game at Michigan is 15.5. He says Ferentz usually wins or loses his games by single digits. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the only way to go on that one just because, you know, the Iowa, you know, just the style of play in some of those games, he likes to go slower tempo. Although I say be careful, I mean, Michigan did put margin on teams like Michigan State, Penn State, and Wisconsin last year with two of those games being at home. So they were able to get some margin, but the only way I'd look at that one would be to take Iowa. My numbers say it should be, you know, 13. You're crossing over a somewhat key number of 14. Yeah, I think that some of the early money's already on Iowa on that one. I believe 15.5 was at the Westgate, and it got bet down to 14.5. Still at 14.5, still above that key number of 14. I'd take the Hawkeyes in that one.
Is there a way to get a bet where you could package Clemson and Alabama together versus the field?
Yep, at multiple books right now in Vegas. And right now the number, at least the last one I saw at the Westgate, which is the largest sports book in the world, Alabama and Clemson were minus 190 versus the field. So that means you'd have to bet $190 to win 100. What does that mean percentage-wise? Well, it's in that 60 to 65% range as far as the chances of Alabama and Clemson winning the title versus the field.
So you – I'm going to try and word this mathematically, and it probably will come out wrong. You basically have to bet twice the amount of money to win half of it. Does that make sense or not? Did
yeah,
I word that correctly?
It does make sense. And I'm sorry, it's some of my lingo. I'm getting more and more in deep here. So sometimes I don't think I speak eloquently enough to the general listening audience. But, yeah, that's exactly right. You're basically betting $2 to win a dollar.
Well, and remember going into the NCAA tournament, you had Duke power rated number one, but you said, I'm betting against them to win it. The odds are not good here, and you won. You won that bet. With the Alabama-Clemson thing, that's probably not a good bet, right, to take the field?
Yeah, I'm not betting it. In fact, this number opened up, like, in the minus 140 range. So all the money, and look, who's betting that prop? Who's betting college football? you know, months in advance. It's sharp action. So I can tell you this, it's moved in the market what we would call 50 cents. So significant movement here on this prop, and it's all been on Alabama and Clemson.
Josh says, Brad, what about Army and Michigan week two?
Yeah, one book has them up, the Golden Nugget, and the point spread's right around three touchdowns. And I know a lot of people are going to say, hey, take Army in that one. I can tell you that's very popular, and I get it that Michigan has had some recent struggles against the, you know, service academies. I remember, you know, a game, I think I'm dating myself a little bit, it might have been 2011-12 against Air Force that they had to sneak by. Yeah, they even played Air Force a couple years ago and didn't cover that one as a significant favorite. You know, AP poll voters are going to have Army maybe as a top 25 team. So I think Army is going to be a very popular team among the betting public. They're going to point towards the Oklahoma game last year. I'm indifferent because when the public jumps in heavy on a dog, I mean, I'll put it in perspective and I'll make this a little personal. When my dad calls me up, hey, that's a trap game for Michigan. Army is playing Michigan. I like Army in that one. And nothing against my dad or anything. I love him to death. But when I see stuff like that, I'm not necessarily going the other way and saying I'm going all in on Michigan. But I'm staying away with the popular underdog there. I think Army's going to be one that the betting public's going to embrace. And, you know, Michigan, I would say arguably one of the major reasons why Oklahoma struggled so much with Army is the defense. And if anything, I think Michigan's defense is perfectly fine on defending the option.
Now, are you picking Michigan to win the Big Ten East?
Oh, well, you know, I'm picking it, but let me put it this way. I'm picking it, but I'm not betting it. So, I mean, my confidence level isn't strong enough for me to bet it. But, I mean, I got to go on paper, and I don't know what it is with Michigan. It's almost like a team that I need to put a different power rating on them in the Ohio State game. I need to drop them 3-4 points, but I mean, it's crazy because, you know, going back to last year, Ohio State had so many struggles against teams like, you know, Maryland, obviously the blowout loss against Purdue. I thought Ohio State was very fortunate to beat Penn State. Meanwhile, on the other side, Michigan's hammering Penn State by 35 points at home. They get the Buckeyes at home. They get Michigan State at home. I'll take Michigan to win the division. But, again, my confidence level is not high enough where I'm going to put my money on it.
Here's the question. I think the Ryan Day hire was a good hire. I really do. I have no issues with it. I'm not disappointed that they didn't go out and try and get some bigger name or something, some established guy. But if Ryan Day does a pretty good job this year, but Michigan wins the East, let's say Michigan wins that game, which they haven't won since 2011, that's not a good look for Ryan Day no matter what else they did, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not optimal, but I can tell you this. I mean, looking at recruiting rankings the next couple of years already, I mean, he's already, you know, taking it to Harbaugh on the recruiting front already. It's just a different level of athlete they're recruiting compared to Michigan. So, in my opinion, it would be more of a one-year blip. It wouldn't be like a, you know, momentous, you know, culture or, you know, shift in the power of that conference. I don't see that. I think it would be more of a one-off that the stars align for Michigan. And they better, let me just put it this way, they better align. I mean, I've kind of been more of a Harbaugh supporter than most. But I can tell you this, he has to beat Ohio State this year. There's no excuses. I mean, again, they're favored over Ohio State right now. At home in the finale, about a 3.5-point favorite. So Michigan's the favorite there. I wouldn't knock Ryan Day if they lost that game. Now, if they lost by 4 touchdowns, maybe, that might be a little bit of a red flag, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Brad, it's the bottom of the hour. Tell everybody how they can get your information.
Yeah, bradpowersports.com. Make sure you're clicking on the Bill King tab. Make sure you're doing that. Bill King tab at the top of the page. Download all past issues of my newsletter. If you want to take a look at some of these lines as far as games of the year, season win totals and whatnot, we got you covered, and it's free right now. You can download the summer issues for free, and if you like what you see, you want to sign up for the upcoming season, which is vastly approaching really quickly here, you can do so for $69. You're covered college football, the NFL, emailed to you weekly during the season, all the way through the Super Bowl. $69, but you're only going to get that price if you go to bradpowersports.com and click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
We will take the bottom of the hour here, and we'll come back with more questions for Brad, bradpowersports.com. We are at the Southern Steak and Oyster, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
If you're a paint contractor, the Home Depot is here to save you money. You can get the same or better quality paint as you do at paint stores, but you also get one thing paint stores don't have: low prices every day on every gallon of high-quality Behr paint, stains, and primers. Plus, for pros, volume discounts. How much are you paying per gallon? At the Home Depot, you pay less for Behr paint every day, like Behr Pro paint starting at just $15.48 a gallon. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
GEICO presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
And now Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is reminding everyone to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This salute is brought to you by Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling, serving our area with pride for 6 years. For the best in residential and light commercial HVAC, Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling is a name you can trust. For installs, repairs, and much more, they kept you warm all winter. Now let them keep you cool all summer. Call Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling today, 615-339-4699. Complete Comfort Heating and Cooling. They're people who care.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio. The home of commitments and other stuff, the Bill King Show.
So the Steak and Oyster down by the Omni. Brad's with us, bradpowersports.com. Brad, this is a different angle to the Michigan State one. Soul Street Coffee earlier asked about Michigan State, said if the number, the win total is 8.5, don't we take the under? Brad, you said that's a pretty good idea. Nathan here says if Michigan State's over and under is 7.5, is that a sucker bet? He says, I see Michigan State winning at least 8 games. What's the real number? Are we getting different numbers? Is that what we're looking at or what?
Michigan State's been one of the biggest movers so far in this offseason of betting. You know, 7, 7.5 was some of the early numbers that were offered, and now some of the more recent numbers are sitting in the 8 range. 8.5 I haven't seen anywhere. I'll have to look at that, but I've certainly seen more 8s than 7.5s at this point. Yeah, I was all over the 7.5 on Michigan State over that win total. I do think the Spartans are improved this year. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up offensively. And I get it. They didn't make any coaching changes other than switching some position roles around there. But I thought last year the problem more than anything was just injuries. They didn't have a healthy quarterback, specifically Brian Lewerke. They didn't have a healthy wide receiver position. Didn't have a healthy offensive line. They started 9 different starting offensive line combos in the season. I think they're better on that side of the ball. And on the defense side of the ball, I think they're just as good, if not better, than what they were a year ago. The reality is a year ago they were one of the best defenses in the entire country. They have every starter back is returning on the offensive and defensive line. So that's something most people don't like to look at this year. Michigan State's the most experienced team in the entire country at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, and looking at the schedule, Michigan State's going to be favored in 9 of their 12 games. They're actually favored over Penn State at home. They're favored at Northwestern. At Ohio State, at Wisconsin, at Michigan's going to be tough, but I think, you know, they're capable of winning one of those. I mean, Michigan State in the underdog role the last 8 years have won about half of their games in the underdog role. That's amazing. Even though they're underdog, they're winning the game straight up about half the time. I think Sparty over 7.5 sounds great to me if you can still find that number. Now, if it's 8 or 8.5, it's starting to get a little bit dicey, but I would still lean over 8 wins. 8.5, again, when I've already had tickets on over 7 and over 7.5, it's just not, you know, responsible of me to say go ahead and still take over 8.5.
I want to get off the path for a second, and then we'll get back to some questions. Rob's got a really good one. I don't know if you got to see this yesterday, Brad, but I was watching the Big Ten Media Days, and it was D'Antonio, and he was on set with Jerry DiNardo and somebody else. I don't remember who. Anyways, they were talking about the transfer portal idea, debate, whatever it is. And he says, here's my idea. And I haven't heard this yet. I don't know if you – maybe you have. He said, here's the solution. Let people transfer. Now, this isn't the grad transfer rule. This is a guy who leaves after a year or two, not the grad transfer. Let a guy transfer one time and do it like the redshirt rule. Let him play 4 games. Can't exceed 4 games. He still gets that year as his redshirt, the transfer, and then he's cleared the next year to completely play. He said, here's the reason for that. When you allow somebody to transfer unfettered, they think that it's looked at differently. It's looked at as an easy out. And he thinks this would be prohibitive. He said the other thing is the guys who are transferring unfettered a lot of times that don't get a red shirt, they're just going straight in, they're losing a lot of credits in that transfer that people don't know about, that for whatever reason do not transfer to the next college, and they run out of time, and they don't get a degree. Did you see that?
I did not, but I really like that, actually.
It's kind of decent.
That's probably the best solution that I've heard. I like that a lot. Do you like it, Bill?
Yep, and I was mad because I never thought of it, and it's pretty easy, yeah. Right?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, and that was specifically for the non-grad. Grad transfers, I'm all for. If you
yeah, that's a good idea.
Hand, go wherever you want.
But,
yeah, I think that would certainly prohibit some because you got to think, hey, I'm not going to have the opportunity to play all 12 games in the next season, but – yeah, I like that. I think that's probably the best for all parties. It's going to, you know, probably devalue some players going, but certainly it sounds like it's still very pro-player. You can play 4 games, not lose your season. I love that. In fact, I'm all for it. To sign me up for that right now.
I don't know. I don't think that idea is out there right now.
No,
I don't think so. I'm sitting there listening to this going – because very rarely, Brad, and you're probably the same way, very rarely do I hear an interview and I get something out of it, right? I mean, I really,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it really, like, damn, that was good. And that never happens to me.
It doesn't happen
D'Antonio.
Too often with me. I did a radio show last night, and I actually felt myself I had to go to Twitter because it was the first interview that I had done with somebody that I thought was really good. I'm not talking about this show specifically. I'm talking about, you know, I was conducting the interview, and I was getting a lot from a guest that I normally don't get. But you're right, Bill. I mean, I went from watching Media Days 5-6 years ago. I don't consume hardly anything from Media Days at this point.
No. Rob has a very good question. He says, Brad, Oklahoma State at Texas. He says, Gundy got the best of Herman in Austin 2 years ago. It's a toss-up game, he says, for him. He wants to know your current line and what does he project it to be after a possible 3-0 start for Gundy.
Yeah, I mean, there's some higher numbers out there in the marketplace. The number was close to 10 in some of the early lines where you could bet it, Texas being that big of a favorite. Of course, I'm on the Oklahoma State side because I'm just not – if there's one team in the marketplace that I'm not as high on as the market this year, at least at the top of the college football world, it's Texas. I mean, they're being treated like a clear-cut top 10 team. I don't think they are, Texas. Yeah, I would certainly lean with Oklahoma State plus the points in that one. In fact, I think there was like a 10.5 out there at the Westgate numbers that were just released on Sunday. I certainly like Oklahoma State there. I think the number, though, should probably be closer to Texas. I do still think Texas is better than Oklahoma State, the fact that it's in Austin, although Oklahoma State has had no problems winning in Austin, not just recently, but we're talking the last 10, 15 years they've had quite success there. But even with that being said, you got to award Texas some home field advantage points. My number would be closer to a touchdown, and that's where I think that the line will be. It'll be in that 7 to 10-point range. And really, I think the reality of what's going to affect that number more than anything is how Texas does against LSU in Week 2.
Tabs is a big Michigan fan, and here's a question for Brad. Which of the four cupcakes that Ohio State opens up with will hand them their first L?
None. I just don't see it. I think they're the first, you know, game that Ohio State will really struggle in, probably be the, I hope so at least, is the Nebraska game at the end of September, where I already bet Nebraska plus 10. If you had to, you know, Indiana can be tricky, and Indiana has given Ohio State some fits, but I'll tell you one that's going to have a chip on their shoulder in Week 2, and that's, you know, obviously Cincinnati. When you look at Luke Fickell with a lot of, you know, ties to the Ohio State program, being a former player, being a former longtime assistant coach and interim coach, and Cincinnati, you know, is an experienced team off an 11-win season. If you're asking me which one I'm likely to bet, it's probably Cincinnati, which is going to be getting probably 17 points or so in that one. I would certainly lean Cincinnati there. And I probably am going to be betting Indiana as well. So I don't think Ohio State loses any of the first four. But if you're asking me where I'm betting, I'm probably betting against the Buckeyes in Weeks 2 and Week 3.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. Brad, we'll let you get out of here. Tell everybody one more time how they can get all your information.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bill. Great show today.
Sure.
Yep, bradpowersports.com, that's the website, bradpowersports.com. Top of the page, click on the Bill King tab. Once you do so, download past issues of my newsletter for free. You like what you see, it's quite simple, $69. That's the entire season. Get all the picks, college and pro. It's the number one newsletter in the country the last 4 years as far as winning percentage. Don't buy it for the picks, though. Buy it for the info. $69 for the season. But make sure you're clicking the Bill King tab at the top of the page at bradpowersports.com.